Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Coming to the end of the chapter of the physical and the spiritual pleasures of Jannat. Like how a good physician, a person that is treating someone, first when he's treating a person, he'll try and identify the major problems of the person and he'll treat the major problems. Once he's finished treating the major problems, then he'll start treating the minor problems. Any injury a person gets also, the first, the most dangerous, the most difficult ones, these are treated first, and then the smaller problems get treated. So we come to one part of the chapter in this kitab, the thoughts that may come to a person's mind, that how can we really enjoy akhirat, how can we just yearn for akhirat. Up till now we heard the different ahadith about the beauty that a pious person experiences at the time of death, the beauty he experiences after he passes away, the beauty he experiences in the qabr, the beauty he experiences at the time of resurrection, the beauty he experiences at the Hawd-e Kawthar, receiving that beautiful water from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beauty he experiences in entering Jannah. So now the smaller problem that may come to the mind is, how can we enjoy all this when we know there is such a thing as Jahannam? Jahannam is there, and there's a possibility of a person going to Jahannam and getting punished, and the difficulties that he may undergo. So one side there is Jannat and one side there is Jahannam. So the thought that can come to the mind is, how can we really enjoy Akhirat when there is that Jahannam that is there? The dunya might still be better. It's still, the thought can come that there is no Jahannam in this dunya, so it may be better. The dunya may still be better. So that thought that comes in the mind, Ya Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Rahmatullahi Alayhi, after this hadith, he explains that even that problem or that thought, that ishkal that may come to the mind, that objection that may just come to the mind, what about Jahannam? How can we ignore it? So he explains that also, to clear that concern from the mind also. So a person is totally at ease. And this is what you call a true spiritual mentor, a person that has got his finger on the pulse and knows how to treat. Not everyone can treat the spiritual problems, but these great personalities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. They even thought of the worries that will come to a person's mind as far as Akhirat is concerned. عن جابر رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بين أهل الجنة في نعيم إذا سطع لهم نور فرفعوا رؤوسهم فإذا الرب قد أشرف عليهم من فوقهم فقال السلام عليكم يا أهل الجنة قال وذلك قوله تعالى سلام قولا من رب الرحيم قال فنظر إليهم وينظرون إليه فلا يلتفتون إلى شيء من النعيم ما داموا ينظرون إليه حتى يحتجب عنهم وبقي نوره. As Jabir radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, while the people of Jannah will be occupied in their bounties, so whilst they be busy in the different bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the people of Jannah, a light will appear above them. They will raise their heads and realize that it is Allah ta'ala who has appeared above them. And this is from the shan and the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to increase the enjoyment of the Jannatis. A light, a bright light will appear from above them. They will look up and then they will realize that it is Allah Ta'ala who has appeared above them. He will say, Allah Pak will say, this ayat comes in Surah Yasin. We read it often in Surah Yasin when we read Surah Yasin. Salamun qawlam mir rabbir rahim. So this is explanation of this ayat. Salamun qawlam mir rabbir rahim. Allah Pak will say, peace be upon you, O people of Jannah. This is the explanation of the verse. Peace, salam. قولاً من رب الرحيم, a statement from the merciful sustainer. This is the statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what this ayah is referring to? That salam that Allah Pak will make to the people of Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, he will look at them and they will look at him. Allah Pak will look at the people of Jannah. The people of Jannah will stare at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will look at them and they will look at him. They will not turn to look at any of the other bounties for as long as they are looking at Allah ta'ala. They will be so fixed in the stare at the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majesty, the glory. They would not look at anything else of Jannat. Jannat got so many different beauties. They won't look at anything else of the beauties of Jannah so long as they are staring at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So long as they can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing else will attract them. This will continue until Allah Pak conceals himself from them and the effect of his light will remain. Ponder over the themes of these ahadiths. Do you think that even a king who is ruling over the 7 continents will ever be able to acquire such pure, untainted and eternal bounties? Even the kings of the world can't get this. If they are not Muslims, they are not believers, they can have everything of this world. But they also won't get this great beautiful ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for the people of Jannah. So here now this part of this explanation is explaining that concern I was speaking about, where a person may have that worry, but what about Jahannam? So the Mu'tanvi rahmatullahi, he brings a short explanation, and as we continue we'll see, bring a hadith to clear that concern that may come to the mind. The reader will recall that a previous chapter, physical and spiritual bounties in the qabr, described the bounties and favors of the qabr, the grave. The doubt which one could have had there can be experienced here as well. The doubt is that when a person hears about the bounties of Jannah, a yearning and desire for it can only be experienced when he has no knowledge of the terrors and the punishment of Jahannam. After learning about the miseries, calamities and hardships of the hellfire Jahannam, all his eagerness dissipates and he feels terrified just by hearing the word year after. Instead of developing a yearning for the year after, he feels that he is better off living in this world. After all, for as long as he is in this world, he is saved from those torments. Philosophers also state that it is more necessary to ward off discomfort than to acquire comfort. What is meant by this? That person may think that it is better to acquire comfort, to stay in this world. That thought may just come to a person's mind because there is so much of discomfort as far as akhirat is concerned. So he may be reluctant to have the desire for akhirat. So this is what he is explaining. So there are two answers for now, this misgiving that may come to the mind, just as there were two answers in the previous chapter. The first answer is that it is within our choice to save ourselves from Jahannam. Allah Pak has given us that choice, not that we are just going there and we got no choice. So the first answer to that concern, Allah Pak has given us that choice to save ourselves from the hellfire, from Jahannam. What I mean by this is that it is within our control to abstain from all those actions which result in the punishment of Jahannam. If we keep away from them, we will save ourselves from Jahannam. So here Mu'tanvi Rahmatullah is saying that it's within our control, not that it's something that is completely out of our control. The second answer is that if we commit sins whilst we are believers, there will be a concession in the punishment of Jahannam. That if a person is a believer and he commits sin, still there will be concession. Jahannam, Allah Pak will make concession for this person, as we did in the different hadith, because of his iman, that fire and the punishment also will be made light. If we are convinced that there will become a time when we will be removed from its torments, then the punishment of Jahannam will be like an ointment which is applied to a wound. On the other hand, no matter how good the bounties of this world may be, thinking about the torments of Jahannam turns all these bounties turbid and murky. What is meant by that? That a person can first tell his mind, speak to his mind, that I can have all the benefits of this world, but if I'm going to go into Jahannam, then what is the use of all the benefits of this world? So the thought shouldn't come into my mind that this dunya is better. What is the use if I'm going to go to Jahannam? The last part, this proves that for a believer, the torments of the year after are still better than the bounties of this world. After all, the torments of the year after are coupled with the conviction that we are going to go to paradise, whereas the bounties of this world are coupled with the dangers of the year after. This thought in itself wipes out all the pleasures of this world. There is a third answer to this doubt, Mawlana Tanvir Rahmatullah is saying, there is a third answer to this doubt that may come to the mind. It was also given in the other chapter, there are some sinners who will not be punished at all in the year after, or punished for a short while, depending on the intercession of someone, or due solely to the grace of Allah Ta'ala. So there are some people that despite their guna, it is just the mercy of Allah Pak, that He'll forgive them and He'll send them to Jannah. So focus the mind on that. There is no need to lose hope in the akhirat, even despite the fact that there is something in Jahannam. A person should have his focus on the bounties of Jannah. Stay away from gunas and sins, and he shouldn't have that type of fear of akhirat, that now that he loses this yearning and the like, and a person desiring akhirat just because of these few thoughts that may come to his mind. Yes, he needs to do what he needs to do as far as the correct things are concerned, and then have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. One important thing that we need to remember is that gunas we must try and stay away from at all times. Sometimes a big day may come, a big night may come, big occasions may come, occasions of the acceptance of duas may come. It may be the day of Eid, it may be different occasions, but a easy way to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to stay away from sins. So one such occasion is now this 9th and 10th of Muharram. Sometimes people may be spending time with their family, people may be extending extra gesture of kindness to the family, etc. Be very careful not to commit any gunas, any sins in this time. The easy way to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become the greatest wali of the time is to stay away from gunas. May Allah Pa give us all the tawfiq of staying away from gunas. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.